Hello. Thank you so much for clicking play on this. Another episode of the Art and Span Show podcast brought to you by our friends at Charlotte Shoe Repair. You can find them online at charlottesherepair.com, located in beautiful downtown Charlotte. Listen, I've bought a couple pairs of boots from Charlotte Shoe Repair. And what's great about that place is that not only do they have a great selection of boots, they do a lot of repairs, too. If you got a leather coat that's got a rip in it, or you just wanted to get all fixed up, you got some boots, you got holes in them. You don't want to be walking around like that. So get more information at charlotteshoerepair.com, located and again, beautiful. I love downtown Charlotte. If you haven't been there, stop by and walk the town and then make sure that you check out Charlotte Shoe Repair. On today's episode, talk to the there's so many different nicknames for him. The Motor City Madman, the Great White Buffalo, Uncle Ted, Deadly Tedley. Talking to Ted Nugent, as he just announced a show at DTE this summer, which he's still on my bucket list to see live. I need to see Ted Nugent live. The show is happening in August at Pine Knob, or otherwise known as DTE, but true Michiganders call it Pine Knob. Without further ado, Uncle Ted Nugent, the Art and Span Show podcast. Michigan's Rock Station Q106. What's going on? It's Art from the Art and Span Show. We have my favorite guest to talk to, one of the greatest Michiganders in all of Michigan, Uncle Ted Nugent. What's going on, man?
Well, thank you, Art. I appreciate that. Happy 2020 to you and yours, and God bless my fellow Michiganiacs. I know that my fellow Michiganiacs are alive and well in my beloved birth state of Michigan.
Yes, and it is a beautiful day, a little chilly here in Michigan, and you're in Texas right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm calling from Texas, and I'm actually celebrating my historical love of Michigan because it was in the 20s this morning. I shot a beautiful 8-point buck with my Matthews bow last night. Our deer season goes all the way to March, which answers the question, why is Ted Nugent in Texas? It's the greatest hunting in the world. We have freedom. I love Michigan, and I'll keep fighting to bring Michigan back to the real Michigan that we all love. But, God, Texas is just freedom heaven on earth.
Yeah, it's a beautiful land down there. And talking to you because you just announced a big show. The best bleeping tour ever, coming to DTE Saturday, August 15th, or as the real Michiganders call it, Pine Knob. And are you excited for this show? I mean, that's a stupid question, but I mean, you've done over 6,756 shows. Does it ever get old?
No, it really doesn't. I was born at the perfect time. I mean, stop and think about it. Our people wonder why I have this attitude. My name is Ted Nugent. I was born in the arsenal of democracy, Detroit, 1948, right at the time that Les Paul literally invented the electric guitar, and Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley showed us exactly what to do with it. So I was already wallowing in the most outrageous, energized, defiant, fun, ferocious, intense, sexy soundtrack in the history of humankind, and that was 1948. Here it is, 2020. Art, I'm an old man, but damn it, I love this music now more than ever. And when you're surrounded with guys like Greg Smith on bass guitar, just an absolute animal, and Jason Heartless from Detroit, I think the greatest drummer on planet Earth, when you get guys like that to pound their heart and soul into every one of the songs that I love, and I happen to love all my songs, it's out of body. Just rehearsals, the intensity of our rehearsals, they're not even really rehearsals, we already know the songs, they're jam sessions. Every lick, every gig, every night, every song is an absolute sonic bombast orgy of American rhythm and blues and rock and roll. So I'm a lucky son of a bitch, and be able to do it all these years later is a blessing that I thank God every day for.
Now, a fellow Michigander, Bob Seger, did his farewell tour recently. I was privileged enough to go see that live, and it was one hell of an experience and definitely a bucket list I was able to check off. Is there any plans? And I know you've probably gotten this question before, but do you ever get up and say, you know what, this might be the last year of touring?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm still into the greatest hunting season of my life. I don't know if you check out Shemaine's Facebook, my dangerous, Little Miss Dangerous wife, hunting buddy, soulmate, Shemaine, her Facebook and all that social media stuff. But just take a look at my wife. If you wonder if I could ever get tired of the music, think of my music as my wife. And she's so dangerous and gorgeous and sexy, and she's plus she's the greatest bow hunter in the world. If she grabs her Matthews bow, you better sharpen your knife because there will be backstraps. So no, Art, I'm so lucky. Again, with Greg and Jason and the intensity of the people at every one of my concerts, the people that come to my concerts, they love killer American rhythm and blues and rock and roll. They love the songs that I love and that I've created. And I'm telling you, every gig is a dream. So coming back to Pine Knob, coming back to Detroit 71 years later, I mean, I play Detroit every year since I was like 12. Maybe before that, I had a little band in Detroit, over in Redford there. We played when I was like 8 and 9 years old. But I tell you, because I escaped the music so completely with my bow and arrow sitting in a tree 200 nights a year, and I play my guitar every day, and I can't wait to grab that guitar and unleash these notes and the opening to Stranglehold and the new album, The Music Made Me Do It, the licks, we still play Johnny Be Good and Journey to the Center of the Mind. We play Baby Please Don't Go off the first Amboy Dukes album, which I've been playing since about 1957. So, no, when you escape the music as a bow and arrow predator, when you're sitting in a tree, there is no music. There's no nothing. You are a samurai predator tuned in to killing dinner for your family and balancing the herd. So when I'm done being a samurai predator, I turn into Bruce Lee with a Gibson Birdland guitar, and it's like the first time every time. So I'm 71. I'm healthy. I've been clean and sober for 71 years. I'm cocked, locked, ready to rock the Glock Doc, and I can't wait for this tour to start. It will be the best damn tour of my life. I guarantee it.
Now, you mentioned being sober, and your buddy and fellow Michigander, Kid Rock, recently got into some trouble. I guess you could call it trouble. I don't know if I think that speaking your mind should get you in trouble, but recently he was at his Nashville bar, said some things about Oprah, and my first thought was, I wonder what Uncle Ted thinks about that. Did you see that?
Well, I didn't see the specific statements, but you know, I know Bob, and Bob's a truth, logic, common sense, work ethic, Michiganiac. He's a Motown American asset column family guy. I know he gets outrageous. I get outrageous. We all get outrageous. You get outrageous, Art. But in the final analysis, I know Bob, and it's about God, family, country, work ethic, musical creativity, being an entrepreneur, being in the asset column, busting your ass to be in the asset column. So when Bob Ritchie speaks out, I got to tell you, if you take a step back and take a deep breath, listen to his words and listen to his condemnation of others, listen to his critique of others, and if you really look at the evidence, he's speaking truth, logic, and common sense. And nowadays, you happen to be on the phone with a guy who has always spoke truth, logic, and common sense. And I use street language when it's efficient, and I get in trouble all the time. And ask me if I give a flying rat's ass. Truth, logic, and common sense is good for you. And when it pisses people off, that means those people are just stupid.
You know, one of the lyrics, and it was actually Fred Bear's voice towards the end of Fred Bear, and he was talking about, you know, getting kids outside and getting them into the spirit of the wild and being out in the great outdoors. And I look at, you know, when I first heard that song, I was, 4 or 5 years old, and now being 30, it seems like, sadly, that message hasn't resonated with kids nowadays. They're more stuck on their phones. They're on their tablets. They're playing Fortnite. What do you think would help Michiganders and people across this country with getting them outside, getting them involved with, you know, hunting and bow hunting and eventually rifle hunting?
Boy, your observations are right on the money. You're a truth, logic, common sense guy, aren't you, Art? You have a truth, logic, common sense meter. God bless you for that. Your observations are right on the money. And you're talking to a guy who has had the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids for 31 years. And I've seen these young boys and girls, their families bring them to get the Ted Nugent message of being clean and sober, putting your heart and soul into being the best that you can be, ignoring peer pressure and following God, family, country, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, you know, all that controversial stuff. But all the kids who come to my camp charity every year for 30 years, they are absolutely mesmerized with the mystical flight of the arrow, archery, the origins of samurai spirit control. Even though archery is fun and it can be a competition and it can be a sport, it can be recreation, but ultimately, archery is the origins of determining intelligently and responsibly the path of your life slash arrow. And our Camp for Kids success story in getting kids to go hunting and fishing and trapping and realizing that we have a moral, scientific obligation as resource stewards to get out there and manage these herds and flocks and fisheries so that there is a balance so they continue to produce annually. Hello! And the answer to your question, how do we get more? Fred Bear's words at the end of the Fred Bear song say, if today's teenage thrill seekers really want to get a thrill, let them go into the great Northwest and tangle with a grizzly bear, a polar bear, a brown bear. They will get a thrill that will cleanse their soul. Art, you're on the phone with the guy that was lucky enough to cleanse my soul with a bow and arrow in Michigan starting around 1950, maybe even before my second birthday. The point is, in Michigan, you know, I'm speaking from Texas. I shot a beautiful buck last night. The season continues here because landowners determine our own bag limits, which is why the whitetail herds in Texas are healthier than anywhere in America, because landowners cherish healthy, thriving biodiversity. And I'm heartbroken when I have to tell you, and we've talked about this before, and people claim that I hate Michigan and I'm angry at Michigan. I love Michigan more than anybody. That's why I fight to get these dishonest, lying bureaucrats to quit chasing people out of the outdoor recreation lifestyle. The laws and rules and regulations in Michigan are the source of attrition, chasing people away from the sport, deterring young people from getting involved. I mean, you can shoot a ribeye in the sky because they're overpopulated. Sandhill cranes are overpopulated in Michigan, destroying millions of dollars worth of agriculture. So instead of opening a season and regulate a hunting season for sandhill cranes, known as ribeyes in the sky by everybody except ignorant people, the Michigan DNR authorized the shooting of sandhill cranes, ribeyes in the sky, but you're not allowed to eat the ribeye in the sky. That's immoral. Michigan is infested with immoral, anti-hunting, anti-nature, anti-science regulations, and it's the source of attrition and failure of recruitment in the outdoor lifestyle in Michigan. And if they get their head out of their ass and just follow the proven methodologies and regulations in states where people are continuing to buy a hunting license and it's alive and well, I'm going to keep fighting because the Natural Resource Commission, the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, and the Department of Natural Resources, they are not the hunting family's friends. And I know how to fix that, but they ignore the science, they ignore the truth and logic, common sense, sound science that we try to bring back into regulations in Michigan. And until they do that, young people will continue to be zombies at the mall, you know, pounding a cell phone instead of discovering the mystical flight of the arrow with a backstrap reward. It's so simple. It's insane that Michigan is defying this common sense.
It seems as though we were getting somewhere with the baiting ban for a minute. And, you know, obviously politicians and representatives that said that, you know, CWD comes from, you know, deers baiting in the same bait pile. And last time that I talked to you, you said, well, no, that's not true. I mean, there's trees all across Michigan where they share the same apples and everything. You know, this has been going on with Mother Nature forever. What do you think the solution is other than, you know, having the people take the laws back?
Well, again, I'm controversial because I actually participate as a thinking, caring participant in this sacred experiment in self-government. Those aren't elected officials working for us. Those are elected employees. We, the people, are supposed to be the electing officials. And we have elected people in Michigan that are spitting in the face of conservation families across the great Michigan winter water wonderland. And the real answer is to put pressure on our elected employees to get the sound science back. The black bear is so overpopulated in Michigan, they're not being utilized. And instead of being in the asset column, they're in the liability column. The wolf is in the liability column. How embarrassing that the once number one hunting state in the nation is wasting tax dollars using contraception on deer in Washtenaw County. Art! Is this planet of the apes or what? So the remedy is for Michigan conservation families to vote. Go to HunterNation.org. We have an organization with Donald Trump Jr. and the great Mark Geis, who saved lives in Benghazi, Rob O'Neill, who killed Osama bin Laden. We have great, great patriots and conservationists at HunterNation.org, where we're trying to get sound science, which happens to be the law in Michigan, in which the NRC and the DNR, they're violating the law. There is no sound science behind a bait ban or a feed ban. There's no sound science behind killing sandhill cranes and wasting them. There's no sound science lying that the number one game bird on planet Earth mysteriously becomes a songbird when it gets to Michigan. I mean, I hunt with people from all around the world, and it breaks my heart, Art. Michigan is the laughingstock of conservation families. They wince. They go, "You can't shoot doves in Michigan? Why is that? It's the number one game bird, and Michigan produces more doves than all the quail, woodcock, grouse, and pheasant combined. You can hunt the game birds that aren't produced as much as the dove, but you can't hunt the number one game bird." Art, I could give you 100 examples. The fishing regulations, all the regulations are just bizarre. So we have to get more active and, quite honestly, be more like Ted Nugent. Call your elected official. Call your senator and your congressman. Call the governor. Call Hillary Clinton, the governor of Michigan, and tell her that we demand sound science, not social considerations or what some doper in Ann Arbor thinks you ought to manage Bambi. So these are the kind of things that I fight for, and I'll never stop because I love Michigan. I'm 71. I'll be 72 this year, Art, and I have spent 72 hunting seasons, sacred family Nugent hunting seasons in Michigan, and I still will always be in Michigan September, October, November. I crave it. I live it. But the regulations are criminal. They're wrong. They're against Proposition 6, with Proposition G, where it demands sound science. There's no sound science. It's all, you know, Governor Hillary Clinton's hunches and fake news from a media that are irresponsible and untrustworthy. So I'm going to keep raising hell because I know the truth about deer hunting. I've spent more time in the deer woods than everybody in the NRC, DNR, and MUCC combined. Case closed.
One last question for you. Recently, or actually it was last year, I do believe, you were on Joe Rogan's podcast, who I think is a brilliant mind, but also someone who has embraced the spirit of bow hunting and archery. I wanted to ask you, what was that experience like?
Joe Rogan and I set a world record 3.5-hour podcast because even at the tender age of 71, I have a little surplus energy. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, just a little, just a little.
I cherish and crave every gift of life that God gives me every day. I love God, family, country, freedom, the Constitution, outrageous rhythm and blues and rock and roll, the mystical flight of the arrow, and backstraps by the truckload. I crave every breath I take. And Joe picked up on that real quick, so we went on. You know, I often use the term samurai, and that is the definitive application of man's spirit and capabilities to a given endeavor. And that's how I approach everything in life, including this interview, Art, right?
Yes, sir.
And so when Joe and I started going, what I do on an interview, like right now, I think, is I turn an interview into a campfire where we kind of poke the glowing embers and we add a little bit of seasoned oak wood, and we talk about things that matter to us and that we're passionate about, which happens to be everything in my life. And so Joe Rogan and I went on and on talking about important issues and fun issues and some silly issues, because that's what you do around a campfire. But I believe that Joe Rogan, Ted Nugent podcast, 3.5 hours, still is a world record for people punching into it, because I explain things about veganism, which is fine. My son Rocco is a hardcore vegan because he's got a digestive complication. But vegans don't save any animals. In fact, vegans cause more death than any other activity on Earth, because in order to grow vegan diets, you have to kill everything that was in that beautiful field. And then with the disc and plow, you dismember anything that tries to get back, and then you plant it. And if any living thing, from shrews and voles and gophers and squirrels and birds and snakes and turtles, anything dares to get back in that tofu field, you will bring Monsanto in and poison them. So in order to get a vegan salad, everything is slaughtered to save the beans. Hello! But if you're comfortably numb, which actually is uncomfortably dumb, but if you are in a zombie state and you think ordering vegan food is going to save a pig, you're out of your mind. And I support veganism. I love vegans. My best friends are vegans. No problem. But they know they're not saving any cows. They know they're not reducing any carbon emissions, because in order to grow a strict vegan diet or a glass of wine, the vineyard operator and the farmer kills everything that interferes with that agra procedure. And anybody that doesn't know that, call 1-800-NUMBNUT, and Michael Moore will explain why personal hygiene is superfluous.
And I think that's the perfect way to wrap up a Ted Nugent interview.
All I want out of you is thank you, Uncle Ted, for entertaining me better than Richard Pryor's afro catching fire.
Well, as always, it's an honor to talk to you, Uncle Ted. The best bleeping tour ever, going to be coming to DTE on Saturday, August 15th. Tickets start at $25 for lawn spots, and you can get those now. Thank you so much, Uncle Ted, for taking the time out of your day to talk to me.
Art, thank you for allowing me to pontificate and raise some hell in my beloved state of Michigan. God bless Q106. Thank you for playing the Fred Bear song and Stranglehold and all the killer Nugent soundtracks of American shit kicker freedom. I appreciate that more than you'll ever know. And I know that my Michiganiac blood brothers are alive and well. The conservatives in Michigan are alive and well, who believe in God, family, country, work ethic, productivity, pride of ownership, pride of being in the asset column. To those real Michiganiacs, an Uncle Ted salute and a promise: I will never give up trying to make Michigan Michigan again.
And we appreciate you for that. We'll see you August 15th at DTE. Thank you so much, Ted, for your time.
Rock and roll like you made it. Godspeed.